Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So can you imagine the horror of waking up in the middle of an operation and not being able to tell the doctors that you are awake? It sounds like a nightmare, and unfortunately, it happens more often than you might realize, exposing tens of thousands of patients a year in the United States to trauma and revealing the complexity of consciousness itself. Joining us now is the author of an article about this in the current issue of The Atlantic. He's Joshua Lang, a student at the Joint Program at UC Berkeley and UCSF Medical. Welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on, Josh.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Explain how this could happen.
Well, patients go into surgery. They're put under anesthesia, and one of the common procedures in anesthetics is to paralyze the patient for certain types of procedures. It's not always done, but it is often done in general anesthesia. So when this is done, it becomes sort of tricky to tell whether or not a patient is awake or not. As you might imagine, the ways we determine whether or not someone is awake in medicine are actually quite simple. It's based on response to stimulus. So literally, like someone says a verbal command or verbal stimulus, mm-hmm. and you respond, and they can tell that you're conscious.
So in this case, people's eyes are taped shut, so you can't see eyes opening, and they're too paralyzed to speak.
Yes, they're paralyzed. So anesthesiologists, it's possible for a patient to wake up, and the anesthesiologist might not know at all and be standing right there in the operating room, literally a few feet from the patient.
And it's rare, lest we scare everybody who's ever going to need surgery more than they're already scared about surgery. This is for every 1,000 patients, one or two experience awareness. But listeners, if there's anybody out there who has experienced anesthesia awareness, give us a call and tell us what this experience was like for you and if its effects were lasting. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And if we have any anesthesiologists listening, we would love to hear from you, or consciousness experts for that matter. Call up and tell us why this is a hard nut to crack. You would think they would know by now just how to put people out and keep people out, and even one or two in 1,000 is too many. 212-433-9692. And Joshua, in your article in The Atlantic, you tell the story of a few of those people. Is there a common type of experience that they share?
There are some common things that they will describe in having experienced, and some of it's hard to really interpret. Something you'll hear commonly is a feeling of having died and come back to life on the table, a feeling of terror, afterwards being scared to lie flat on any surface. So the experiences are diverse. The surgeries in which this happens are diverse. There are some which are higher risk than others, but there are some common sort of symptoms that people present with. And the interesting thing is it's not necessarily the pain. Experiencing pain during surgery is far more rare than even anesthesia awareness. So what this is people are awake but still dulled to pain most often. But the traumatic thing is actually sort of that feeling of being paralyzed while being awake usually is what is the traumatic experience.
Let's take a caller who says this has happened to her. Josephine in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, this was way back in 57, and I don't even remember what I was given. But it was an emergency appendectomy, and I came to, I think as they were sewing me up. And being a New Yorker, I started swearing. And the nurse said, no, we don't need language like that. And something went over my face immediately.
Well, that was probably a good thing, swearing aside, that something went over your face immediately to put you back out, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much. George in Manhattan, this happened to you?
Yes, I was allergic to the anesthesia that I had, and I had a very severe reaction to it. I woke up. I felt I was in a chamber. I felt like I was locked into this chamber. And I'm very claustrophobic. So what I had was this horrible claustrophobic reaction, and the doctor was removing my lymph glands in my neck, and it was a very, very frightening reaction. I have terribly vivid memories of it.
And I'm sorry that happened to you, and thank you for calling up and sharing that. You tell the story in your article, Joshua, of a researcher, Nasib Shamoon, who came up with a bispectral index machine, it's called, that would measure where a person is on the consciousness index, the idea being that consciousness is a spectrum, not an on-off switch. So if the machine reads below a certain number, they're basically unconscious and would be ready for surgery. But that machine wasn't perfect.
No, you know, there's so much more to this story than I could even put into to the long piece that was in The Atlantic. The discovery process for Shamoon was a long one. It began in mid-1980s and lasted for 20 years. He was really the first person to try and tackle consciousness as a practical problem and to do something practical about it. His story is actually really incredible. He was a Lebanese immigrant and came here for college at Northeastern. And actually, when he got over here, he came from sort of a wealthy family in Lebanon. When he got here, he got cut off. And from there, it was not only a mission to build this device, but sort of a mission of personal survival to keep himself afloat and eventually a new family as well.
And go ahead.
Yeah, back to the device that he built, which was the question that I think you originally asked.
Well, let me even move beyond that and pick up what I think you were just trying to get at, which is that a definitive measure of consciousness is like the Holy Grail for some researchers. And understanding consciousness from a scientific point of view could change the way we think about a host of issues: animal rights, abortion, artificial intelligence. It could change the way we think about when we would want our families to pull the plug near the end of life. So in your article, you explore how this problem with people waking up during surgery has tremendous implications that go beyond the obvious practicality of you don't want people to have to wake up during surgery.
Well, so that you're mixing two things there just a little bit, which is there are two researchers I talked about, and they are two very fascinating researchers and very different in many ways. There is Nasib Shamoon, who invented the BIS monitor, and there's Giulio Tononi. Nasib Shamoon is an electrical engineer, an inventor, and entrepreneur, and he solely tackled the problem of consciousness during surgery. So he's a really practical and inventive guy, and his goal from the beginning was to create a usable device for the operating room. And he did that based on data from the operating room. So what he did was never intended to be used anywhere outside of the operating room. It was empirically based. So he gathered data points from millions of data points from thousands of surgeries, and from that information, it was really the beginning of big data and big data crunching. He had access to mainframes that were cutting edge at Harvard and Boston University, and he created this practical device. Now, Nasib Shamoon would never say that the BIS monitor had any application outside of surgery. It was never really meant for that. In fact, there is this case where it's been used in prisons in death penalty, in the death penalty, to ensure that prisoners were actually asleep when they were put when they were put to death. And he was horrified by that, and he responded, at least representatives from his company responded, that it was never supposed to be used in that way. Now, the difference between him and Giulio Tononi is really interesting. Giulio Tononi began from sort of a theoretical point of view. He began, he's this Italian researcher who moved here early in his career and started working under a Nobel Prize winning scientist. And he had from the age of 16, he was interested in consciousness and started developing this theory of what consciousness actually is. And so one thing he's turned his attention to is this idea of brain monitoring during surgery. But because he started from a theoretical point of view, his brain monitoring technology could theoretically be applied to any setting. So
go ahead, finish your point. Animal rights,
any other setting like you had mentioned in the beginning.
And, of course, different philosophers think different thoughts about consciousness, as you point out. Descartes thought body and mind were separate, but that consciousness was located somewhere in the pineal gland. David Hume thought consciousness was simply a collection of perceptions. Kant thought consciousness was more than that. Does that kind of philosophical question matter to how you control awareness during surgery?
It matters. To Julio, it probably matters less to Nassib Shimon than it does to Giulio Tononi. You know, Nassib, again, was sort of interested in how do we make this work now? How do we make this work for surgeries now? And he has a device that's being used every day. For Giulio Tononi, who has a theory, he's very interested in those questions. Is consciousness located in one place or another? Is it a collection of various processes, or is there something more? He has his own belief mm-hmm. about that. But for him, that matters a great deal.
We have 30 seconds left just on the very practical notion of this PTSD that some people experience after the fact. Aren't there modern anesthetics that make you forget, even if you're awake during surgery? They're really forgetting drugs, and that would solve that problem?
Benzodiazepines prevent...
And we have literally 15 seconds.
Yeah, they prevent memory formation, so that's true. But awareness is based... The incidence of awareness is based on explicit recall, so people who remember things. So there are theoretically possibly other cases where people were awake but don't remember later on.
Joshua Lang wrote a fascinating article about surgery and consciousness in The Atlantic. Thank you for coming on and discussing some of it with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.